The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
PB, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast, brother. How you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing good.
Yeah, so this is 10th time is the charm, y'all. We recorded this probably almost a month ago, and we had some technical difficulties, and now we're using a different service, and we've been back and forth, but we're working now, and this is the day in the life of a podcaster, working with all the technological demons, and this is why we don't want, you know, a technocracy, and we don't want, like, AI running anything, because at our best, it's not good. So
yeah,
welcome back, Pete. Let's open up. And how about you kind of introduce yourself, kind of give us a little bit of your background when it comes to food and ideas on food and all that good stuff. And I'll turn the floor over to you.
Okay. So my name's Pete. I have a YouTube channel, Pete B, East Texas Homesteading. Although we don't do much homesteading that much anymore, because my life has changed dramatically, my wife and I. We came from a vegan, vegetarian background because we were doing it to be healthy. And it didn't work out so good for us. We were constantly sick, always trying to figure out what was wrong with us. Cupboard full of supplements because we're deficient in everything. And we've been homesteading since 2016, growing our own fresh fruits and vegetables and, trying to eat healthy and always sick. And I was suffering from, all types of chronic issues, from IBS symptoms. I had rashes, eczema on my skin a lot. Heart palpitations, PVCs, that's when your heart skips beats. Constantly dealing with that was driving me crazy. Brain fog, allergies, joint pains, air hunger, where you can't, you know, you feel like you just can't get enough air all the time. Depression was just, I mean, it was bad. But my wife and I, our relationship suffered a lot. Because she had PMS symptoms beyond belief. And I felt sorry for her because they were bad, really bad. My depression was bad too. Anxious, worried about everything. I mean, I would never commit suicide, but those thoughts were running through my head. What if, you know, over stupid stuff, you know, it's like craziness. High blood pressure. High insulin, you know, while gaining weight. And it was driving me crazy. And I got to the point one day that I got on my knees and I said, Lord, if you're not going to heal me, and which I thought, if he, you know, why would he heal me now thinking back? Why would he heal me if I'm going to continue down the same path and still get sick again because I was malnourished? But if you're not going to heal me, show me what I need to do to fix this, all the problems that I had. The next day, if it wasn't the same evening, on my YouTube feed, I started seeing carnivore popping up on my feed. And I've heard about carnivore before, but I didn't think much of it. And I thought, wow, that carnivore, you know, that's not healthy, I thought, because vegan was the best, healthiest way, I thought. But anyway, I started seeing all these carnivore videos, and I said, you know, it looked interesting. Let me check it out. I started hearing about all these testimonials of people getting better from this, and that. And I'm like, that sounds like me. I got this. Yeah, I got that too, you know, and I'm suffering from this. So I tried it. So I went keto, some meat and some vegetables. And I tried that for better part of a week. And then I started turning more ketovore. And then within a few weeks, I went full-blown carnivore. And I am not kidding you. I just felt like a new person. My brain lit up, man. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. I felt calm. my chest wasn't pounding all over the place. I used to have a lot of pounding heart too. My PVC started going away. All the issues that I had, the joint pain, the IBS symptom, all that, all started going away. And I started feeling like a new person. And I haven't looked back, man. It's been 11 months that I've been carnivore. And like I said, our lives, my wife completely, all her PMS symptoms went away. She's calm. She's not anxious anymore about nothing. I don't worry and stress out about anything. If something happens, I'm like, well, I'll deal with it, whatever. Or before, I was like, oh, life has ended, you know. Now it's just calm. I'm relaxed. My wife and I get along wonderfully. It's just, I couldn't ask for anything better, really.
What's so interesting to me about all of this and this topic, and specifically you, is there's so much similarities between us. It's kind of uncanny from the sense that we relocated to Texas in 14. We started homesteading in 15. We decided to do that because we were very conscious of the broken food system, and we knew that we had to actively participate. We knew we wanted to grow our own food. We wanted to know what we ate. We wanted to know what our food ate, you know, and all these different things. And we were on the exact same path, doing the exact same thing. My wife, from reading, had lots of different health issues, had lots of severe thyroid issues. And so we started reading all these books, 80-10-10, Daniel Graham, the China Study, all these other, these pro-vegetarian, vegan books, Gerson Therapy, and a lot of it. And we were reading all this, consuming all this propaganda. My wife was completely plant-based for several years. I had been different. I had tried different things like fruitarian. Because she was eating mostly plant-based, I was eating the same stuff, and we kept lamenting the same thing. Like, why are we always sick? Why do we not feel good? Why do we not have energy? I mean, we are in the top 10% as far as being active with our food and trying to grow our own food and being cognizant of what we put in our mouth, reading the labels, doing all the things that you're supposedly supposed to do. Yeah. Why are we sick all the time? Why don't we feel good? You know, unbeknownst to me, I developed this incredibly debilitating arthritic condition in my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after it was far too late, found out that I had encapsulative arthritis in my left shoulder, had lost about 30 to 40% of my labrum. And it had literally made me bedridden with the pain. Hadn't slept more than a couple hours in, like, without exaggeration, 7 years. Hadn't slept. Oh. And continued to try to work. And I got put literally on my back in bed and went to the orthopedic surgeon. And he was like, you know, I went to four orthopedic surgeons. And they're like, you know, you need a new shoulder, man. You're 40. At the time, I was, 47. You need a new shoulder. And I'm like, that's not going to work. I'm too young for that. Yeah. And I watched all the videos of the process and how that whole thing works. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to participate in that. I'm not doing that. And that's what kind of forced us this direction, you know. And my wife, she started same exact thing. These videos started coming up in our YouTube feed, and it was another homesteader. It was Carrie Mann, Homestead How, and he starts telling his story, sharing his story, and she was like, wow, yeah, we got that stuff going on and that stuff, and he's doing the same thing as us, and he's suffering, you know? And that's why it's so important to capture these stories, to tell this story, and to share. I have a great friend of about 20 years, and a couple years ago, he called me. He's like, man, I got this autoimmune condition and it's irreversible. My body's shutting down. They're putting me on all this like chemo to suppress my immune system, you know? And this was before I went carnivore, and I'm like, man, I'll be praying for you and all this stuff. Well, he just reached out to me 2 days ago and he was like, hey man, you know, I need you to be praying for me. He was like, my doc wants to put me on this crazy, arthritis medication where it's this shot, you know, that continues to suppress your immune system even worse.
No.
And I said, listen, man, I'm like, you tried all that stuff. You're suffering. You've been suffering for years now. Give carnivore a try. I'm like, what's it going to hurt you? I'm like, at a minimum, you'll receive all the benefits of whatever this supposed medication is going to give you. And it might actually reverse all these problems, you know? And, I mean, that's why I wanted to have you on. And then as Providence had it, I think it was like 2 days ago, you just did an excellently, very well done video of these diluted vegans and vegetarians and the visual, the very scary correlating videos that clearly demonstrate visually what these people are doing to themselves. And you were watching them have like psychotic breakdowns and different things. And, this diet and all of this scientism and propaganda and Loma Linda and blue zones and all these talking points that have kind of like been foundational with vegetarianism and veganism.
Yep.
It's just making people sicker and sicker, more malnourished, psychologically unstable. We want to know, you know, part of what's happened to our country. They have deconstructed Western civilization and they've unpinned us from our moorings and just what absolute truth is.
Yeah.
But what's exacerbating that problem is people are mentally ill, and it's because they're malnourished. It's because they're low fat, no fat, you know, they're starving their brain and they're suffering the consequences of metabolic syndrome and malnourishment, and people are losing it, and people are hopeless. People are having these homicidal ideations and all these different things. And how crazy, what's so incredible, the carnivore diet is the simplest thing, change you can make. And within 3 to 4 weeks, you have like transformative results. And it doesn't require Pfizer. It doesn't require Big Pharma. It doesn't require any, you don't have to trust the science. All you have to do is try it, implement it, you know, and tweak it to make it fit you. Everybody's not the same. Everybody hasn't experienced the same amount of pollution. Everybody hasn't had the same vaccine schedule. We're all different ages, man. Yeah. We all live in different places, but this protocol works for everybody that tries it.
You know, for the last 50 years at least, we've been told that butter was bad, cholesterol is bad, meat is bad, fat is bad. All those things are extremely, now we know that these things are very beneficial. So when people 50 years ago, I remember my parents buying margarine back in the 70s, you know, because butter is bad. It's bad for you. I remember all this stuff. I remember my dad's doctor telling my dad, you can't have salt because you got high blood pressure. It's, you know, your body nervous system runs on that. But yeah, we were told that all this stuff is bad. So everybody switched over to eating fruits and vegetables and or cakes and carbohydrates and donuts and whatever, cereal, grains and all bread, pasta. So we can't eat meat. We have to eat our grains now and our vegetables, which we know now that all this stuff is making everybody sick and miserable. Nobody since 50 years ago has gotten any healthier. Everybody's continued on this path of getting worse and worse and worse. And now we got all kinds of diseases that we never even heard of 30, 40 years ago. But it's all because everybody abandoned the meat and the butter and the whole milk. And, you know, we even will now be very afraid of, everybody has to go skim milk, low fat, no fat milk. And it's insanity. And everybody's buying this hook, line, and sinker. And everybody's going low fat, no meat, no nothing. And everybody's frail, overweight, fat, diabetic, suffering with all kinds of diseases, schizophrenia, dementia, you know, you name it, bipolarism, all this. These are some of the illnesses that carnivore cures. It's depression, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, dementia, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, osteoporosis, osteopenia, pernicious anemia, bipolar, even cancer. These are all caused by high grain, not to mention all the chemicals that are in the wheat and stuff. And people just don't get it. I didn't get it until just recently, you know, a year ago. And a lot of people say, oh, there's no way that carnivore can fix everything, you know. Yes, it can, because we're eliminating all the junk, all the inflammatory foods like the fruits and vegetables and the grains and the seed oils, avoiding all that. Your body can finally say, thank you, I don't need that junk anymore, inflaming the body. And now the body can start healing. So when people say, can carnivore really fix everything? Yes, it can. It can fix everything, because you're eliminating all the stuff that inflaming your body, everything.
Yeah, and then another thing that there is a ton of science behind is ketones and ketosis. And there has been, I mean, there's studies that are over 100 years old on this, and this is a proven method to heal. Yes. That we absolutely know, you know, and all carnivore is an extreme state of ketosis that absolutely works. And by adding the meat and the fat, you create a completely satiated state where you can't have the cravings because you're full and you're satisfied. And then because of the fact that you start to feel better and you have elevated serotonin levels and you feel better and you can move better and you can sleep better, I've said this for 10 years. Most people don't do well because they don't feel well. You know, most people fly off the handle. It's because it's the straw that broke the camel's back. I didn't sleep last night. I'm in constant pain. Oh, I hurt. Yeah. I can't think clearly, right? And then this minor little thing happens, like maybe one of your children do something that children do, like, and you're like freaking out and losing it. And it's all because like you're in this like completely deprived state and you're in pain and you're sleep deprived. And this one little speck of dust lands on the top of the hay pile and everything breaks and snaps. And you know, that's the state of our culture today is like, you know, everybody's on pins and needles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was vegetarian, we'd eat, my wife would, you know, we'd finish eating dinner stuffed. I was full. I couldn't eat another bite. Within an hour, I'd be looking in the cupboard for snacks, chips, some corn chips or something to eat, because I just had to eat, you know, I was full. But I felt like I had to snack on something. And my blood sugar, of course, was all over the place. I remember working in the garden, and within a couple hours of eating lunch, you know, I'd be like shaking. And I'd go in the house, my hands are shaking, and I'm all feeling weird and stuff. I'm like, honey, my blood sugar is dropping. I got to grab something to eat. So I'd eat chips. I'd eat dried figs. Or dates or something like that, dried fruit to, and then, you know, my blood sugar would skyrocket. And then I feel better. And then within an hour, I started the same thing back up and down. And my mood was all over the place, and my gut was, you know, I was getting a big spare tire. And you can't, it's not sustainable. You can't do that all the time. Eating a high carb diet is going to destroy and destroy your health. We know now, and you know, I said that people were saying for 50 years that cholesterol is bad, everything's, you know, fat's bad, meat's bad. What's killing people is the high sugar, high carbohydrate, all grains, all this stuff. We've been fed a bunch of lies for all these years, and people just took it in hook, line, and sinker. And like I said, we haven't gotten any better, but we go carnivore and all these problems just disappear. And a lot of people don't believe it, but you have to try it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, so you did all the vegan vegetarianism stuff, right, for a decade. This is what's fascinating. So you did all that for a decade, and you thought you were doing the right thing. You thought you were helping yourself and improving yourself. You thought you were, like, saving the planet.
18 years. I did it for 18 years.
18 years, right? And you developed all these issues. So you've been a carnivore 11 months now. So, okay, yeah, did all this great stuff for you. Pete, be honest. Like, what negative effects have you had from carnivore? I mean, you're 11 months in. Have you developed any scurvy yet?
Oh, no.
Okay. has your arteries clogged shut yet? Or
no. I had blood tests done. My cholesterol is good. Everything's good.
So you've been doing this for 11 months, and the only things that you've experienced have been positive health improvements.
I just went to my wife and I went to the dentist yesterday to get our teeth cleaned. And prior to that, every time we get our teeth cleaned, they would always find, oh, you're getting a cavity here. Oh, you're getting a cavity there. Oh, we need to fix this. We need to fix that. My teeth were always sensitive, all the time sensitive. I'd brush in certain areas, and it'd be like, if I even touched it with the brush, it would like, you know, a knife going up into your mouth. It was so sensitive. It was like an open nerve. I noticed that it used to fluctuate. It would last for like a week or so, that pain, and then it would go away for a week or two, and then it would come back again. So on and off, on and off. I went carnivore, and then my teeth used to hurt when I chew too. Just the pressure of the food, it would hurt. Weird. But anyways, I went carnivore and I noticed my teeth getting tighter. I noticed that the pain just went away. I didn't have that pain anymore. I would brush and it wouldn't hurt anymore. And I'm like, okay, this is probably just temporary thing. The pain usually comes back. Months and months and months go by. Nothing. I have not had any more pain in my teeth. I had my teeth cleaned. No anesthesia. None of this numbing stuff. Nothing. Didn't hurt one bit. So a high-carb diet, fruits and vegetables destroy your teeth. I've even heard of people saying they have friends that were fruitarians and raw vegans and stuff, that their teeth falling out because, you know, I don't know the science behind it, but the nutrition needed to hold, you know, all this together is weakening. So, yeah, being on a carnivore diet, and I've heard lots of stories about carnivores saying that their teeth feel tight. You don't get that bad odor when you wake up in the morning or anything like that. It's honestly blowing me away how incredibly simple this diet is, just to be healthy, just to eat meat.
Yeah, so we're a family of eight, right? and we're doing all the good things and we're not eating processed sugar, you know, and we're brushing and we're flossing. And over the last, before carnivore, we would all go to the dentist every year. Many of my children, and we don't drink soda, we don't drink fruit juice, right? Every year, my kids, my one son has had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of dentistry work done every year. All my children had teeth issues and cavities and all this stuff. My wife has had extensive dentistry done. I have a mouth full of fillings, right? Mm-hmm. And so every year we would easily spend between $4,000 and $5,000 in dentistry bills.
Mm-hmm.
And, almost 2 years carnivore, I have not spent a dollar at the dentist in the last 2 years. And I want to drive this point home because this is expensive. How do you do it? And well, right now I have an extra $5,000 a year, not paying it to a dentist and him like destroying my mouth and putting who knows what in there and all this stuff that's going to have to be maintained. That's going to create future expense down the road. Now I have an extra $5,000 that I can spend on food just in one fiscal year. You know, carnivore is incredibly inexpensive in the grand scheme of things when you cut out the Starbucks, when you cut out the organic potato chips that are cooked in avocado oil and all
organic sugar.
Yeah. When you cut all that out, you have some, and you're eating maybe two meals a day and you're not hungry. I eat one meal a day almost always. I eat one meal a day. I eat 2 pounds, two and a half pounds of meat, maybe 2 pounds of meat, half pound of fat, something like that. And I'm good to go. And I can demonstrate that those costs are substantially less than what we were paying.
Oh, man, I agree, because like I said, I used to eat dinner stuffed and then I'd want a snack an hour later. Now I eat my lunch. I'll usually have a pound of ground beef or ground, so at least a pound of beef and a quarter stick of butter. I love munching on grass-fed butter. It's like my dessert, yeah. You know? So I eat that and I don't snack anymore. I have no need for snack. I have no urge for snacking. Dinner comes, we'll eat maybe some drumsticks, chicken or some chicken thighs, or we'll eat more beef, you know, or I'll have a ribeye or whatever. And then at night, you know, I used to get these urges, before bed, I got to munch on something. I'm getting this urge to eat. Not anymore, because when your body is not running on carbs, you don't have that up and down insulin fluctuation going on. Like you said, your body runs on ketones. The muscles don't require insulin to bring those ketones into your muscles. They just go right in. And you get energy from your fat cell and from burning fat. I have basically zero carbs. I don't eat any carbs. Your body makes, they say, up to 4 grams or something like that of carbs through gluconeogenesis. Your liver produces whatever it needs from protein or fats, you know. And, dude, I work out. I work out 4 days a week with heavy weights, and I have no need for carbs. I my body doesn't even crave carbs. So when people say, well, you need some carbs, now, if you're an athlete, I'd say, you know, you have some carbs, a little bit. But the average person, even just working out a little bit, you don't need carbs. Your body produces everything it needs, everything.
Now, you have a ton of cool stuff on your channel, and you got some hacks, and you've been experimenting. I know one really good tip that you put out there was about boron and cramps.
Yeah.
Cramping was an issue I had. I implemented the boron, and then I was still kind of having issues. So I upped the milligrams. I take two instead of one. And I mean, problem solved on the cramping. I know another one that you talked about was L-reuteri and, you know, this gut bacteria.
Yeah, yeah.
Regarding sleep and improving sleep. I mean, I started experimenting with that and I've had a lot of improvements and positive impact there. So you're like 11 months in. Mm-hmm. 4 months ago, I started experimenting with dry aging. Have you ever tried that, like dry aging a steak?
No, I haven't actually. I maybe it's something I should try doing.
This is next level. So you can take a chuck roast or a chuck steak, right? And you get that super high fat content, which is really good. You know, when you're eating like sirloins and strip steak, they don't have enough fat to really make you feel optimal. So you can do a chuck roast, which fortunately is much less expensive. You know, even most places you can still probably get that $5-6 a pound.
Yeah.
And then what I've been doing is I dry age it for 3 days. So I pre-season it, I salt it, and then I put it on a drying rack in the fridge. And I dry age it for 3 days, and then I cook it in the air fryer. I cook it 4 minutes to a side, and what the dry aging also does is it crisps the exterior. So okay, when you air fry it, the exterior is almost like a pan seared. You get this crunchy exterior and you get this very medium rare center, which is the way I like it. And you don't have any of the myoglobin. So, you know, what all the uneducated and uninformed people think that is actually blood. And, oh, I can't believe you're eating that bloody steak. Well, if you do the dry age, it completely eliminates that intermuscular fluid. You're going to get that crispy exterior, and it's going to be so tender. You definitely have to give it a whirl. Now, the only thing is if you try and start doing it, you'll probably have to dry age every steak you eat from now on. Cause I mean, it's that good. It's
try that, because when we eat the chuck roast, if you just cook it like on a grill or whatever, it's like eating shoe leather.
Yep. Yeah, it's terrible.
But we put it in a crock pot.
In
an instant pot, mm-hmm, for like 40 minutes, and yeah, you can cut it with a fork, man.
Yeah,
I'm so tender. But I still like the steak on the grill. You know, I like that kind of taste. But if you're telling me I can get this and put it in an air fryer and make it be, you know, fairly tender, then, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, you need to try it. I mean, and the air fryer is so convenient. And then when you can get this very cheap piece of meat to just be that much better. And I mean, no extra cost, just a little extra prep, little extra time. I mean, it's next level. I think you're going to love it.
I'm going to try that. Try it out. Very good.
So you're 11 months in, any other hacks, any other things that you've noticed or tweaks that you want to talk about, any recommendations?
This is not something I would enjoy talking about, but there's a lot of people suffering from toenail fungus. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what does fungus, first of all, want? It wants carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. It wants sugar. It wants it wants glucose.
Yeah.
So this was just a surprise to me. I had my pinky toes had bad fungus on them, and my big toes had a toenail fungus on. I had it for years, for like 20. And I tried everything, all the treatments, all this garbage, and it's all junk. Don't even waste your time with that stuff. The fungus, toenail fungus, any kind of fungus is coming from internally. It's our diet. Oh, what was it? A week or so ago, I noticed my pinkies would look normal. I was like, what? I mean, they were all, you know, like yellowed and crispy looking and stuff. When I cut them down, they cut them down to nothing, basically. I look at them and they look normal, completely pink, beautiful. I'm like, honey, look. Look at my toes. And my big toes, they were getting pink again. The color, instead of the yellow, you know, fungus, typical nail looking, they're all pink now again. And I'm like, this is incredible. Because now it all makes sense. Get rid of the carbs. Get rid of all the sugar and just eat extreme ketogenic diet, which is carnivore. You're not feeding that fungus anymore. And voila, it's gone.
And your body can heal. And what I find even more incredible, you know, the further we go down this ketogenic path and you have time, your body has time to heal. Here you are, you're 11 months in and you had this persistent issue and it's just going away. And, you know, that's the other thing I want to encourage people. You know, it took us a lifetime of food abuse, yeah, abusing our bodies and our systems to degenerate to a state where it's like, hey, can't do this anymore. Like, and it's going to take a while for your body to heal, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So I continue almost 2 years in, I continue to see improvement in different areas that I just, for one, you've dealt with it so long, you didn't even look at it really as a problem. You're just like, oh, well, you know, you get old and this is what happens. Yeah. You know, this is just what happens. This is part of the process. But the reality is you feed your body what it needs and you starve it from the poisons and all the stuff that it doesn't need and all the things that reinforce the food addiction. Your body has time to heal and you will continue to improve. And what's crazy is, like, you can see my beard's kind of gray here and it's grayed a lot, but this was getting really gray like 3 or 4 years ago. And most of my gray up top has like reversed. It's went away, which is really bizarre to me. But like even my hair is getting younger, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's like, it's pretty wild.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I'm in my 60s, you know, my forehead's receded. That's normal. That's genetic. But when was it? In 2010 or 11 or something like that. My wife at that time, she used to tell me that I had I was getting a bald spot back here, you know, and I had a little bit longer hair then, and I was basically getting a bald spot back here. And now, yeah, my hair is thinning, of course, but that bald spot, it's not there anymore.
Wow.
It's consistent. Whatever I have here is the same back here. I just keep it short now because I don't have the hair that I used to have, obviously, but your hair will improve. And like you were saying, when you give your body the nutrition it needs, things start going back to normal, the way it's supposed to be, you know?
And another thing when it comes to cost, and nobody ever calculates this cost. No one calculates this cost into their food consumption. But everybody has been sold on this idea of supplements. And I take four or five different things. I take boron. I take some CalMag. I take some selenium. Yep. I take selenium because I supplement with iodine. I do a Brownstein protocol, so it's high iodine. I used it to heal my thyroid because I had hypothyroidism my whole life and took Armour Thyroid and all that stuff. And using the Brownstein protocol, that went away, so I do take some selenium. Before I took all the stuff and I took the newest thing for whatever my new ailment was, you know, like red krill oil or whatever, you know what I mean? Or blue algae, you know, they come out with all this stuff, you know what I mean?
Superfood.
Yeah. All the superfoods, and I'm no longer buying $200 to $300 a month in supplements, you know,
if not more.
Yeah. Which gives me more resources to just buy real food and eat once a day. And, you know, our food costs continue to go down.
You know, especially, I mean, if you're not, if you don't have a super active lifestyle, if you're not working out constantly or, you know, really super active, one meal a day is perfect because you're getting all the nutrition it needs. You're getting all the nutrition you need in one meal, especially with all the, especially the ruminant meats. But then you're letting your intestines rest all that time. Your body's rebuilding. Fasting, I believe in fasting. I think it's very good for you. If you do a day, up to 3 day fast, your body heals. It takes that time off from digesting all that food and starts repairing, getting rid of all that dead cells in your body, converting them into new amino acids, and rebuilding your body. And one meal a day is really good. I work out, so I can't. I'm doing two meals a day.
Yeah, and I mean, we're, as Christians, we're commanded to fast, you know.
Yeah.
And how awesome is it that not only can we do that for spiritual reasons, but you get all these physical benefits. I sleep the best when I'm fasting. And I sleep so good when I'm fasting. The longest I'll do is like a 3 day fast. And I'm like, man, I'm going to eat and I'll feel good, but I know I won't sleep as good tonight. I'm like, man, I would just like to keep fasting. But fasting is so beneficial for physical, mental, spiritual reasons.
You talk about ketosis.
Yeah. And you're getting this hyper elevated state of ketosis where, you know, you get like a sense of well-being and
the brain clears up.
Yeah. And it becomes so interesting because you're like, wow, now you know why God commanded us to do it, because it not only does it improve our spiritual life and our walk and communication with Him, but there's health benefits to it, you know, that is just unbelievable. I mean, if you haven't tried fasting and I still haven't done the dry fast thing yet. I haven't done a dry fast.
I don't agree with dry fasting. I mean, people can do whatever they want, but the body needs liquid to remove stuff and get, you know, get things out of your kidneys need to work to get the stuff your body's trying to get out. But that, you know, that's up to the individual. I wouldn't do very long dry fast, but fasting is very beneficial. Now, like you said, from a Christian perspective, I know this carnivore, they always talk about, there's a lot of evolutionists in the carnivore field, and they always talk about, we've been eating this for millions and millions and billions of years or whatever. And nobody's talking about it from a Christian perspective. There's a lot of Christians going into carnivore, and a lot of Christians point out Genesis 1:29, where it says, you know, I have given you all the herbs, or the fruits and vegetables, basically all the fruits and vegetables for you, it shall be food. That was very true, but that was before man sinned. That was in the Garden of Eden. We no longer live in that day. That was before sin. We live after sin. God cursed the ground. Everything went wild, thorns and thistles. And that was the pre-flood era. After the flood, God provided meat for us to eat because He knew that things are not the same anymore. Things are totally different. Okay, these people lived much longer than we do. They were much bigger than us. Everything was bigger back then. You can look in the dinosaurs. You can look at all the. They used to have in those days dragonflies with a 4 foot wingspan.
Yeah,
exact same one today, but today's, you know, ours are, you know, 3-4 inches or whatever it is.
Yeah, I had Pastor Jimmy Pruitt on, and we talked about this exact topic as it relates to Christian, and that was the same thing. That's why I asked him to come on. I'm like, because in this space, there aren't a lot of people talking about it from a Christian perspective. We talked about exactly the exact same thing. He mentioned the exact same points, and here we are. You know, I think, you know, that was a couple 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. And now we're that much further into the future with all these processes and all of this, everything's processed and there's stuff coming out of the sky that people are putting in there that's going on everything and into our food. And there's all of this other stuff that we need to combat and we need to heal from. And what is so incredible, God and his sovereignty and providence, you know, he created this ruminant animal with three stomachs, right?
Four
stomachs. And he created a process, like even according to the Texas A&M study that they did, they fed cows hay sprayed with glyphosate. Okay. And according to their study, they did a genetic test and everything. And they claim, according to their study, that glyphosate does not pass to the meat, that through the rumination process and through the fermentation process, you're into permaculture and different things. We're in that homestead space. They're also finding that in this composting process, right? So when we compost stuff, they're finding my buddy, Billy Bond at Permapasture Farms, he's doing a soil reclamation from all the toxic stuff that happened with the stuff in North Carolina, and he's doing a reclamation, and they're able to extract forever chemicals from the soil doing this composting. And when you think about the same processes in that compost pile with the biome and the heat and everything, is the exact same process that's going on in these cow stomachs that was designed and created that way, you know, where cows can go and be and live on land that's unfarmable from an agricultural standpoint. This is all land that is, for lack of a better word, unusable. They can go out there, they can mow the grass for us. They can take that grass, they can turn it into the most nutritious, nutrient dense, beneficial, healthy food. And then we can take that meat and eat it and feel better.
The cow, the way that the gut in the cow is designed, it is incredible what these bacteria, it's mind blowing what they do. They eat the grass. People always say, where do cows get their protein from? You know, well, they're not getting it from the grass. This is what blew me away. The bacteria is so incredibly powerful. Now, the bacteria is on the grass that they eat and on the ground, right? Their lips are pulling this grass off and they're eating it. They're pulling all the bacteria too with it. Goes into their chamber, the first chamber, and it starts fermenting. And then they, you know, bring it up. They start chewing the cud and re-chew it again, and it goes into their chamber. The bacteria ferment this stuff so much, and it extracts all the fatty acids. They produce fatty acids from the grass that they eat. All the nutrients, all the phytonutrients that the grass has, the bacteria convert whatever nutrients that are in there into whatever the cow needs. And at the end of the process, the bacteria die, a lot of it die. The stomach digests it and uses the bacteria as protein. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
So not only do they feed the cow and everything, all the nutrients they need, then they die and give the cow the protein they need to go into their muscle tissue. And then we eat it and we get all the fatty acids, the protein, the phytonutrients from plants, all that stuff, all the vitamins, vitamin C even, goes into our body, and we benefit from it. I mean, to me, beef, the ruminant beef and lamb is the most perfect food for us. It's mind-blowing. It really is. And we didn't know that.
It's almost incredibly hard to argue that it wasn't intentionally designed that way. I think if you statistically crunch the probability numbers on that, it would obviously be in the factors of trillions of the odds that some cosmic soup accident
just looking at the eye, the way the lens focuses, the way the light goes back there, the nerves pick up the light and turn it into an image in your brain. Why do we have teeth? Why do we have a digestive system? You know, you look at your arm, you look at all these tendons and ligaments from, you know, from cells joining together into the egg. All the DNA information is there to tell how big the bone is going to be, where the muscle tissue is going to connect, where the tendons and ligaments all connect, where they connect, the ligaments turn into muscles and back into ligaments, and how it goes to each finger. And how come? Come on. Yeah. If that's not design.
Yeah, it's
the heart, the immune system, the nervous system, the blood, the cardiovascular system, feeding. I mean, it just didn't happen. Come on.
It's impossible. Impossible. You know, Darwin lamented about that in his incredibly racist book about favored races and all that stuff. And he lamented the fact that the eye could not evolve, and he couldn't make up some kind of a lie or excuse to make that work. But
I mean, what are these animals, you know, an animal form that's like, oh, you know, we can't see, so we're going to have to develop eyes. We're bumping into everything. I mean, come on.
Yeah. P, this has been just another killer conversation. You know, always love having you on. We will definitely do this again.
Yeah, I'd like to.
One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to link your most recent video down below. I think that's a perfect resource. Nice. Like if you want to kind of open somebody's eyes and visibly demonstrate to them the problems with these vegan vegetarian ideas and what it's actually doing to people and the psychosis that it is creating. Video is very well done, poignant, nice and brief, a great resource to share. So I'm going to link that down below. In closing, is there anything you want to say in closing and leave the listeners with?
If you're dealing with any issues, if you have friends that are vegans or vegetarians or whatever, plant-based, show them. There's a million and one carnivore videos now on YouTube, thousands and thousands of testimonials. Show them these things. If they're dealing with health issues, show them the carnivore diet. They don't have to go full carnivore. They can go keto or ketovore, you know, meat and some vegetables. But if we don't stick with whole food, you're going to get sick. If your food has got a label, ingredients label, you're going to get sick eventually. Eat whole food. And to me, the best one is ruminant meat, beef and lamb, number one.
Paul, this one's for you, buddy. I love you, man. You can do it. So I know you're listening. So you can do it, brother. You need it, and it's going to help you. In closing, I do want to let you all know, if you are local to the Northeast Texas area, I think we at least have a half a cow available. So hit us up at thetexasboys.com or shoot us an email, because that's going to be coming available soon. I think it's hanging at the processor right now. So that'll be available within a month. So if you're interested and looking for some high quality beef we want to share, and check us out over there. Also check out our new lines. We have a new tallow line. We have a new tallow skincare line with an absolutely incredible tallow deodorant that my son's wife has developed. And it's really good stuff. And we love and appreciate y'all. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the next video.
Have a good one.